Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a good thing it's not a Saturday. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia Tech, and it's a little bit on the chilly side, and that's why it's a good thing it's not a Saturday, because otherwise, this would be a snotty Saturday. I'm sorry. It's just a little sniffly. It's a little chilly here, and my nose is running. Todd, thanks for stating the obvious. Okay. Hey, look. I got soft, okay? Moved from Minnesota to Atlanta. It took a winter to get soft. You move from the north to the south, loaded with bravado. You know where we come from. Entire cities have been buried in snow, and we've never seen them again. We just brag about how cold it is and how wicked the weather is. But then you live through one nice winter in the south, and I'm telling you something. You become a freeze baby lickety-split fast. Anything below 70 degrees is like, oh, kids, put an extra blanket on the bed. We don't want to lose you. It doesn't take long. So here we are at Georgia Tech hoping... Ooh, they've got a popcorn machine. Oh, that... Are you a popcornaholic? I am. I'll see any popcorn. It can be gas station popcorn. The greasier, the better. It's like a worm to a bird for me. We're in the thingy-ma-bob. You know, the center, I guess would be the word I'm looking for. There's some student center here that's got a big inflatable dealy bob sent up, trying to attract the kids' attention, and they're giving away popcorn. Hey, why don't we take a break and we'll come. Let's see if we can find a kid who claims to be a Christian who can articulate the gospel in 10 seconds or less, because as we've been hearing, it doesn't happen very often. Kids who profess to be followers of Jesus don't even know the basics of the gospel, and they should be able to express it in 10 seconds or less, because it's just not that complicated. The simpleness of Scripture and the gospel message, a 2-year-old should be able to articulate it, let alone a college student. All right, excuse me. Young man, while you're eating whatever it is that you're eating, may I chat with you on the radio for a minute?
Sure, yes.
Cool, don't stop eating. Don't stop. Man, it's okay. Where are you from?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. And what are you doing here at Georgia Tech?
Studying aerospace engineering.
You're going to be a rocket scientist.
More or less.
You're the brunt of a joke.
It's true.
Well, actually, it's not a joke. It's really a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, I like to think so.
Okay, so what do you want to do when you get out of here?
Not really clear on that. I mean, ideally, just in terms of where I'm going to be working in industry, I'd rather be working, with Boeing or Lockheed rather than NASA actually doing rocket science, as you put it. But
I just got to be in a flight simulator for a Learjet.
Yeah.
Was it cool? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I haven't actually played in a while, but...
No. Not a game on a computer. I mean that big thing where you sit in it. It's a real cockpit. The real with the hydraulics.
I've seen them. I've never actually been in one.
Dude, way cool.
I could imagine.
Way cool. And a lot of work to be a pilot.
Right.
It's not a gentle type of thing to steer.
Yeah, there's a lot of ground school to go through, from my understanding.
Yeah. But so. It was the physical stuff that kind of surprised me. Okay, right. So you're from Connecticut. You're living down here in the South.
Right.
Could you tell me what spiritual thing you're into or religion you are into, if any?
I'm not a member of a religion, but I guess I do believe in God. But, I mean, past that, I haven't really explored it all too much.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think God is?
I mean, that's kind of a difficult question. Again, this just goes back to the whole, like, I haven't really explored it in depth. Like, I choose to believe that, you know, all of this happened for a reason, but as to, like, you know, who did it or why, it's...
Did you grow up in a religious home?
My dad is atheist, and my mom is, or not atheist, what do you
agnostic.
Call it? Agnostic, and my mom is Roman Catholic, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And you just haven't quite figured it out.
Right, more or less.
But you believe there's a God. Why?
I mean, I just think it, I mean, when you consider, like, everything, you know, like, just life on Earth, a lot of things had to come together in just the right way. And for, you know, all of this to exist, and I feel like, you know, I mean, some people will say that's chance, but I'd say, you know, with given like the, you know, probability of that happening, it's almost just as likely.
So the complexity design argument has led you to believe somebody had to put this together.
Yeah, I mean, I'd argue it's equally as like for those who believe that, I don't know, I guess like the Big Bang happened and then like everything just kind of fell into place. I'd almost argue that it makes just as much sense as like the Big Bang happened because someone wanted it to and then he just kind of put it all together, I guess, mm-hmm. but...
Philosophically, let me ask you if this is logical to you, mm-hmm. okay? If I look at the creation
right.
and conclude, like you are, that there must be some creator,
right.
not sure how he did it exactly, but there's some sort of creator, would it be fair to say that there are things that we can learn about the creator by looking at the creation?
I mean, that's kind of difficult to say because I guess a lot of people, and again, I'm not really sure whether I buy into this, believe that he's, you know, kind of all-knowing, all-powerful. So I feel like from our perspective, it's almost kind of arrogant to assume that we can look into something. And
I didn't talk about religions.
Right.
I'm just saying, can we look at all the stuff that's made and go, okay, is there a clue here as to what he is like? For instance, see if this is logical.
Right.
This place is big, so he has to be bigger.
Right.
Would that be fair?
I mean, I guess stuff like that would be fair to conclude. As to other things you could get out of it, I'm not exactly sure.
Right. Let's try. Let me try this one. It's well organized, mm-hmm. so he must be smart.
Well,
it's a clever place. The whole system is pretty clever. Therefore, the God who made it, or whatever you want to call it, that made it, is very clever and smart.
I guess that would be. Again, fair to say from our perspective. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know these things.
All right. Okay. One more. If you and I are communicative, we right. have a way to share ideas and thoughts with one another.
Right.
Would it be fair to say that the creator, whoever it is a communicating creator?
I mean, I've always kind of held the belief that this was just kind of something he did and then kind of maybe, you know, backed away from just to see... You know, what would happen, like, kind of our fate as the human race, the fate of the human race is kind of in our own hands. You just kind of set everything in motion and then said, like, you know, do with it what you will.
You know, that's a concept called deism, mm-hmm. okay? So that would mean that if he kind of set the place up and let it spin.
Right.
How do the rules of nature happen without him being involved? Intrinsic property do inanimate or even animate objects have that keep them organized, that keeps gravity working, that keeps laws of thermodynamics happening, without somebody overseeing those laws?
I mean, couldn't you've just put them in place to begin with and just kind of left it at that? I feel like I'm not really fully understanding your question here.
What power, where does the world get its power from? Why does the world keep spinning? Why does gravity keep pulling things down? Where does that come from?
When he created everything, I guess he just, you know, decided that there'd be gravity, and then everything would just kind of float around.
All right. Okay.
I mean...
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I guess.
Sort of?
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, kind of a loaded question. Do you really get anyone who ever says, like, no, I'm a terrible person?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if my response seems kind of weird.
No, nobody's ever said I'm a terrible... Because I think we like ourselves. We think we're pretty good people.
Right.
Okay, here's a test for you. How many lies have you told in your life?
Oh, there's been a fair number of them.
Fair number. Yeah. Okay, so if I told a fair number of lies, what would you call me?
I mean, it depends who you're lying to or...
Just a lie.
Just lie? You'd
call me a...
I mean, I wouldn't call you any better or
even behind my back, a liar, right?
Yeah, but again, no better or no worse than like the person standing next to you, because everybody does it.
That could be, but I'd right. still be one.
Right.
I mean, if everybody's speeding, I'm still a speeder.
Right, right.
Okay. How many things have you stolen in your life?
A few, to be completely honest.
Okay, so what would that make you?
I don't know. I guess...
Rhymes with thief.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a little trickier. Thought life. Purity of thought. Looking at other individuals, looking at women, having sexual desires or fantasies. How pure has your thought life been?
Probably not very.
Not so good.
Yeah.
Not so good. Okay, so I asked you before if you're a good person. You said, yeah, I'm a good person. But you've lied and you've stolen and you've lusted.
Right.
Okay, if there's a God and you died and you stood before him and he judged you for your thoughts, for your deeds, for your lack of deeds,
mm-hmm.
would he find you innocent or guilty?
I mean, again, I'm not really... too...
Self-examination. I'm not judging you.
At this point, wouldn't it be a question of which doctrine you would follow in believing in God?
No, because it doesn't matter what I think about the judge. The question is...
Oh, no, what I'm getting at is, I mean, some things that might be considered like an unforgivable sin, say, like, you know, the Roman Catholic ideology might not be
We'll keep that aside. Just lying, stealing, lusting. Innocent or guilty?
I guess if he's, like, super strict about it, I guess I'd be guilty, but...
No, again, he's super strict because... It's law-breaking.
Oh, I guess.
Besides, I mean, it's been more than one lie, more than one thing stolen, more than one lust.
Right. Right?
Okay, so if you're guilty, and this God is just, he cares about right and wrong, and if there's a place for people to go when they die, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell?
I guess I'd go to hell, but, you know, I guess also on that note, I really feel like the problem with that kind of thought belief is, like, most people, I get the feeling that, like, most people probably would, because, you know, who hasn't lied and lusted and things like that?
I agree.
So, I mean, that's one of the things that's always kind of, to be completely honest, confused me about organized religion, because it seems like it's, like, kind of, the belief system is kind of crashing, conflicting with human nature, so it's, like, almost like a lose-lose, I guess, but...
I understand. Hey, dude, eat some of your food. Yeah. I gotta take a break, and then you eat some of your food because it's getting cold.
Yep.
All right? All right, we'll take a break. Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here at Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of your time. And I wonder if you've had time to check out Wretched TV. It's our daily 30-minute television program with Todd. It's the best of both worlds. You not only get to hear him like you do here on Wretched Radio, but you also get to see him. There's live witnessing encounters on Wretched TV. There's discussions of tough theological issues and various topics in the Christian community. You can see it all at wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV. And it's only because of our gospel partners that we're able to make Wretched TV available to everyone. If you're already a gospel partner, we thank you for your generous efforts. And if you're not one, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? You can help us to continue making Wretched Television available to everyone. You can find out more at wretched.org/donate right now. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. And I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
So what do selfie sticks, John Fabares, and snacks all have in common? Simple. They're all necessities on your next road trip. The road trip to truth. Obviously. I mean, who takes a road trip without John Fabares? You never will again after you watch Wretched's newest resource, Road Trip to Truth. Join John as he sets out on a journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, but you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. As Tim Challies put it, far too many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. Road Trip to Truth is unashamedly and effectively dealing with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith. Just head on over to roadtriptotruth.org. And get stocked up with everything you need for your next road trip. Well, everything except the selfie sticks and snacks. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project.
the King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Drew is a better man than I am. This is Wretched Radio. We're at Georgia Tech, where it's cold and I'm whiny. But Drew, you're from Connecticut and you haven't started whining yet, have you?
I mean, it's only like 40, so y'all got nothing to complain about.
I'm telling you, I got soft. One winter and you get squishy. All right, we were talking with Drew and we kind of came to a kind of a conflict of this whole religion thing, and that religion seems to be problematic because it says you're supposed to be perfect, and yet human nature says we're not perfect at all.
Right. Again, that's one of the things I'm kind of confused about, and it's one of the, eventually, I feel like at some point in my life I'm going to go out and actually, like, select a religion and start following it, but it's one of those things I need to,
examine.
Work through.
Figure out.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any idea? Now, you've lived in this country your whole life, right? Even though your background, your mom and dad,
yep,
from Hong Kong?
Kong and Taiwan.
Taiwan. All right. Are you familiar with what, say, Buddhism teaches compared to Christianity versus Islam?
I've got a fairly good idea of it because we, in where I went to elementary, or not elementary school, like middle school and high school, I remember there was a good portion of it spent in AP history classes learning about the separate religions and
really?
Belief systems. Just
That's
because, I mean, Christianity and like the rise of Judaism and the rise of Islam is really, like, it was a huge driving factor historically in like the development of.
So they just taught a history. So, did they teach you the theology of Christianity?
Christianity, I kind of, everything I know about it, I kind of get from my mom, again, because she's Roman Catholic, and just from, you know, just kind of like osmosis. I've never actually been to, like, a mass and fully appreciated what's going on, but just through
osmosis, you've been picking it up.
I've been picking it up. And then as for Islam, that was actually something they tried to teach, because I guess I went through high school around the time when 9/11 happened.
Oh, yeah.
So it was one of the major focal points, I thought, of our school to kind of teach us what they believe, so we had a better, less, I guess, bias or judgmental view of what's going on there, and a better understanding of, like, you know, who they are, and things like that.
Okay, so Drew, here's where we were at. If you got judged by God, and he knew that you were a luster and a liar and a thief,
right,
maybe done other things that you're not so thrilled with,
right,
and he knew all about it, and he judged you, you'd be guilty. Would you go to a good place or a bad place, a heaven or a hell?
I guess we said hell earlier, so
yeah.
Stick with that.
You're sticking with that?
Yeah.
Huh? And would that be a good place or a bad place?
I mean, I guess that would just kind of be dependent on what you're taught, I guess. I mean, there's going to be...
Well, it would be bad because you've broken the laws, and there's a price to be paid for law-breaking.
Right, but...
Okay. I want to watch your time, too.
Right.
Okay. Christianity. What does Christianity say has happened so that a guy like you and me doesn't have to go to hell?
I don't know. God's supposed to be, like, all-forgiving or something, right?
Or... Well, it's a lot about forgiveness, but not all-forgiving.
Right.
But God is a forgiving God. He's a kind God. He's a good God. He's a just God, and he's got to punish lawbreakers.
Right.
He's not
going to
let rapists get away with crimes or murderers, but he's not going to let lusters get away with it either.
Right.
Or liars,
right,
or thieves. He's going to get everybody for their lawbreaking, because primarily it's a crime against him.
Mm-hmm.
Not just against one another, but against him.
Right.
Okay? So what did God do, according to Christianity, so that you don't have to go to hell? It's called the gospel. Do you know what that is?
Gospel.
So the good news. It means good news.
I guess that's, something from the Bible, right?
That's right.
Right.
It's the big thing of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it is. You're a lawbreaker. I'm a lawbreaker. Everybody here is a lawbreaker.
Right.
And God should rightly, we agree on this, God should send everybody to hell because that's what we've earned for ourselves.
Right.
And he must do that because he's just. He's got to punish lawbreakers, but he's also good and he's kind. So now we got a tension, that tension we talked about before. You're right. There's a tension going on here.
Mm-hmm.
God is good and just. He's got to punish lawbreakers, but he's a loving God, and he wants to forgive them. But he can't just go, well, you're forgiven, because that would be unjust.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like a criminal standing before a judge. He's broken all the laws, and the judge goes, well, I'm just going to forgive you.
Right.
You're a bad judge. You're a bad judge. You got to punish the guy.
Yeah.
But if somebody was willing to take the punishment that you and I deserve, to satisfy the justice and the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. God could look at us because of what a good person did for us and say, your fine has been paid, you're dismissed, I've forgiven you, based on what somebody has done for you. That is the gospel.
Oh, okay. So that's the whole Jesus died for our sins thing?
That is exactly right.
All right.
Jesus Christ, who claims to be God himself, mm-hmm. came to this earth to rescue you and me.
Right.
To take the punishment that we deserve. He received hell for us, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Beaten, hung on a cross, gasping for air, dying.
Right.
So that your sins could be put on him, and then his goodness could be credited to your account, and therefore God could look at you and say, Drew, I see you as perfect because of what my son did on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news of the gospel. So that resolves that tension. God is just, and instead of punishing the unjust, he punished the just on your behalf. He punished the good man for the bad man's sake, that you might be forgiven. So God now can show mercy to you. He can forgive you and still be just at the same time.
Okay.
That's how the tension gets broken.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, are you waiting for like my opinion on that or?
Sure.
I mean, I actually don't really know how to react to that.
Let me ask this question. If that's true,
right,
can you think of a kinder act that has ever taken place for you than that? If indeed Jesus is God,
mm-hmm.
he was enjoying heaven and everything that was sweet, and instead came down and took on a human form to live on this earth at a crummy time in history where it wasn't really pleasant.
Right.
And was beaten up for you,
mm-hmm.
was hit with a stick for you.
Right.
Had a crown of thorns put on his head for you, and had nails put through his hands and feet for you, and died for you. Can you think of a kinder act that anybody has ever done for you?
I guess not.
No.
Again, if it's true.
Yeah, it would be good news.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're a young man, and you said you're trying to figure things out. You should figure out if that's true or not.
Right.
Because if it's true, then all the other things are false. And if it's true, and you don't get that forgiveness, you'd be in big trouble, right?
Right. Well, again, it's, I mean, this is a pretty big question I've got to figure out, and I mean, right now, school's kind of in the way, so, again, it's something I want to do eventually, just, I don't know when that would be.
Drew, I'm going to leave you, but let me encourage you.
Right.
If what I just shared with you is right, right now, as you sit here, I know school is important, and eating your food is important, but if it's true that God is seeing everything you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and he's mad at you for breaking his laws,
mm-hmm.
not thanking him for your food that you just got,
right.
not praising him, not living for him, his wrath is aimed directly at you,
mm-hmm.
that would get my attention.
Right.
And make it a little bit more urgent. Then I'll just wait until I get what I think is important. Because in life, what's really important, really, is where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? And if what I just shared with you is true, where you're going right now is hell.
Right.
And I would think really urgently about this.
Mm-hmm.
You got enough time during the day to figure this out. Right? Or at least think on these things.
Yeah, I guess.
So I would simply encourage you, make it a point of urgency to figure this out.
Right.
Because if also what I said to you is true, it's very good news for you that you could be forgiven by God.
Very true.
Yeah? And you could be in a right relationship with God. All right, I'm leaving.
All right.
Here's what you must do if you determine what I just said to you is true.
Right.
You've got to repent. Do you know what that word means?
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
It basically just means admit to your, sins in this case and then ask for forgiveness.
And turn from them.
And turn from them. Okay, there we go.
Turn from your sin. Doesn't mean you become perfect, but it's like, God, I don't want those things anymore. I want you instead. And you put your trust in Jesus and him alone. And the Bible says all sins, past, present, and future, all gone because of what Jesus did for you. You've got to repent and trust the Savior.
Right.
Think about it, dude.
Yep.
All right, you're a gentleman. I appreciate the chat very much.
Nice meeting you.
All right, goodbye.
Put her in the glass.
Yep, carry on. Rocket scientist. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. We're at Georgia Tech. Pray for him, would you? It's always striking to me that people respond like that. I think it's pretty telling, and I think that's why when we listened to Ray, a week or two ago, to come with earnestness and to remind people of the importance of dealing with this issue. I just read a quote by George Whitefield. George Whitefield was talking about how he was preaching during the Great Revival here and the Great Awakening in America. how he spent so much time pleading with them earnestly about judgment, about the afterlife, about hell. Why? Because if this kid would die, or they would die, they would be in such big trouble. I'm thinking, too, about that quote, if you recall, from George Spurgeon. Maybe it's a cousin. From Charles Spurgeon. When Charles Spurgeon was talking about the modern-day preachers of his time, I remember, because it was from Team Pyro. Spurgeon said that we as Christians don't win the world with a sword. That's not what we're about. Not now, not ever. But we are given to speak words with a sword, that are a sword, the two-edged sword. But so many preachers these days have replaced the sword with flowers, and they preach such sweet-smelling words and about the times and about how they can live a better. And it reminds you so much of today's preachers. But we should be cutting men down with the sword of God's word and the law, and with some urgency, and letting them know this is important. Deal with these things and deal with them now. It's a Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, newly confirmed U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has pledged his support of LGBT causes with a commitment to fly pride flags at U.S. embassies around the world. Blinken, who was confirmed earlier in the week by the U.S. Senate, previously promised to seek protections for LGBTQ people during questioning from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Blinken also said, quote, he would repudiate the findings of the report of the Commission on Unalienable Rights and reaffirm the U.S.'s acceptance and adherence to the human rights laid out in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That commission was created by previous Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in July 2019 to bring the department back to its original mission. Part of his pledge includes flying the pride flag at U.S. embassies. During the Trump administration, the State Department told embassies not to fly the flag. Former Vice President Mike Pence agreed with that decision, stating, quote, on the flagpole of our American embassies, one flag should fly, and that's the American flag. Amen to that. Students for Life of America released a new poll, a project of the organization's Institute for Pro-Life Advancement, that evaluates how the newest voters, millennials and Gen Z, ages 18 to 34, view some of the cutting-edge policy discussions most timely in the debate over abortion. This demographic is widely reported as being almost entirely in support of abortion as it's allowed through Roe v. Wade, through all 9 months for any reason whatsoever, and sometimes with taxpayer funding. However, what was found might surprise some of you. Asked directly about reversing Roe v. Wade to return the issue of abortion to the states, more millennials and Gen Z supported reversing Roe and sending abortion policies to the voters than those that opposed it, by a margin of 44% in favor to 36% opposed and 18% unsure. The number of respondents opposing Roe nearly doubled after learning more about what the law allows. The number is extraordinary considering Planned Parenthood claims that Roe is popular and that 77% of American people oppose reversing it, which would simply return the issue of abortion to the states, where the people could have a voice and vote on life-related policy. Looking at the big picture, 57% to 30% oppose Roe v. Wade when they learn it allows for abortion through all 9 months. Other issues also uncovered in this poll show that almost 7 out of 10 millennials and Gen Z do want to vote on abortion-related policy. Less than 2 out of 10 want unlimited abortion through all 9 months for any reason at all. More than 7 out of 10 support limits on abortion. The Hyde Amendment and Mexico City policy have support. Millennial and Gen Z taxpayers do not want their money used to pay for abortions, whether it's in the U.S. or worldwide. Almost half supported banning abortion after a heartbeat is detected. And by a margin of 55 to 25%, millennial and Gen Z supported requiring in-person purchase of chemical abortion pills to prevent abusers from anonymously buying them online to slip to women without their consent. So what all this data tells us is that millennials and Gen Z are far from embracing Planned Parenthood and the Democratic Party line. Maybe there is hope for the future after all. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Mexican. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are going to do what we love to do, and that is talk to people about what they believe in hopes that if they are confused about Christianity specifically, which in the Bible Belt, I got to tell you, there's a little confusion going on. We hope we get a chance to witness to them. A crazy thing did happen to me, though, last night. I was at the gym in an endeavor to look like Vladimir Putin. There was a kid. There was actually three of them, and they all had some sort of cross symbol on their apparel. One guy had it on his ring, so I said, hey, dude, because that's the way you talk at the gym. I said, hey, dude, you got a cross on your ring. Does that mean you're a Christian? Yes, sir, because very polite in the South. Terrific. In 10 seconds or less, tell me what the gospel is. And guess what? He did it. He was actually able to do it. That does not happen very often. He said, he stood up from the piece of equipment that he was on, like he snapped into attention. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners that we can be forgiven and go to heaven. And guess what? He used the R word. He said, repent. You must repent. And he did say, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I simply encouraged him to change that word to believe. And he was like, yeah, that makes sense. But he did an exceptional job at telling me what the gospel and the correct gospel response is. But not many people can. So today on Georgia Tech campus, let's see, because chances are pretty good, we're going to run into some people who profess to be a Christian. Let's see if they can tell me in 10 seconds or less what the gospel is and the gospel response. Because I think they're two separate things. One is the good news. What is the information that you need to know? And the other one is, what must you do in response to that knowledge? Oh, boy, I'm breaking a rule here. There's two women that are sitting in the center steps in the middle of the student center here at Georgia Tech. And I will try to approach both of them and see if they'll talk to me, but I doubt it. Hey, ladies, how are you doing? I'm good. I would like to ask you a couple of questions on radio. Would you be willing to... Nice peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Thank you.
Loaded with jelly.
Yeah.
Cool. Could I ask you just a couple of questions on the radio?
Sure.
Would that be okay? What kind of jelly is that?
Grape.
Is that your favorite?
It is.
You ever had cherry?
No.
Oh, because it's got big chunks of cherry in it. It's amazing.
Is it as good as peach preservatives? Because I like that.
You know, that's different than orange marmalade, isn't it?
A little bit.
Never had peach preservatives. Sounds like a Southern thing.
It is.
I'm kind of a Northern thing.
Oh, see, I'm a Texan.
I got to tell you, okay, how long have you been in Georgia?
For almost 2 years now.
Have you seen any peach trees? One. Have you seen one peach tree in the peach state?
I don't think so.
Honest. Oh, wait, we came here and we thought there's just going to be peach trees. Like, you just, kids, we'll pull over and grab a peach for lunch. And there are no plates. Okay, you're from Texas. What are you studying?
STEC, Science, Technology, and Culture.
Alrighty then, blank stare for me. Science, technology, what?
And culture.
Oh, it's literate. And what's the culture part mean?
I haven't gotten that far yet, so we'll see.
You're but just on the S. Like,
pretty much, yeah.
What does somebody do with a STEC degree?
Well, I have to go into public relations, so.
For a company to represent or a politician?
Hopefully to represent the Dallas Cowboys.
Specifically?
Wow. Focus, yeah.
Talk about a tight focus. Good for you. What are you studying?
STEC as well.
STEC, oh, that's why you're pals. Okay, so what's culture?
I haven't gotten that far. I'm behind her. I'm a freshman, so.
But when you signed up for it, mm-hmm. What did they tell you that part is about?
They didn't really tell me. They just I want to be a journalist or something like that. So they told me that this was the major to go. So
that's the way
yeah.
to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think that the journalism field is getting a little trickier because of the shrinking of newspapers and the growth of the internet?
Yes, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I want to work for a newspaper per se. Maybe like a magazine or like doing like layout and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't really know or like something
on the web.
There's
all kinds
of
things. Maybe. And where are you from?
Greenville, South Carolina.
That is a beautiful place.
I know. I love it.
My family and we just went there for a weekend deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is sweet there.
Did you go downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
They just cleaned the place up. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. That, no, see, there you could do public relations for them.
Mm-hmm.
That would
it
be as good
really
as the Cowboys because it's really, really gorgeous mm-hmm. there. Nice little downtown deal. Okay,
yes.
Here's my question for you, ladies. You're both from down south, the Bible Belt. May I ask you what religion you are?
I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian. What are you?
Christian.
Great. Now, try not to listen. I'll ask you first. intense. You just cover up the one ear. The other won't go in. That way it'll just go in one ear. And okay, tell me in 10 seconds or less, what is the Christian gospel? Go.
You mean like what does gospel stand for? Like, or what it means?
Yeah.
Well, gospel means the good news, and I would say that it's just a story about Jesus Christ and how he was crucified and he sacrificed himself for us and for our sins so that we could live with his Father, our Father.
Okay.
So.
All right, that was your 10 seconds. Well done. Would you agree with what you just said?
I would.
All right,
would
the number? Oh, go ahead.
We are saved through by faith through grace, and, you know, if it weren't for him, we would have nowhere else to go.
So I'm going to ask you a different question.
Okay.
10 seconds or less, what must I do to get that forgiveness that she just talked about?
Repent. Pray to God in your heart. Be sincere about it. Just, you know who he is. Know that he is Father. And give everything up to him. You've got to surrender yourself, your entire life.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what type of Christian are you? What denomination?
Baptist.
And you are?
Presbyterian.
Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. And would you agree with what she said?
Yeah, I would. I really would. I mean, one thing that she didn't mention, but I know she believes is that if we do give up our lives to Christ, we give up our lives to Christ. We have to follow, like, the Bible. I mean, yes, we're going to sin. That's why we have Jesus as our perfect role model in a way. I would say that we just have to, that's the best way to be a Christian.
So do I need to be good in order to be forgiven?
No, not necessarily. No, not at all. I mean, we want to not be good, I would say. We want to be like Christ. So that's what we strive for. We are definitely going to fail. I mean, we're human. You know, we have a sinful nature.
Got it.
So.
Okay, ladies, I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, goodbye. Just did my little heart good right there, didn't it? Let's keep going here at Georgia Tech and see if we can run into some... I'm just kind of sizing everybody up. That looks like a Christian. That doesn't look like a Christian. There's really no art or science to this. I guess I'm just going to grab somebody. All right, let's do that. Hey, sir, while you're walking, I don't want to stop you. Can I talk to you on the radio for just a moment?
Sure.
Cool. What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
I'm not studying. Actually, I'm the guy here, the... has the inflatable here.
Oh, you're the renter guy.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much does something like that cost to rent a day?
To rent a day, probably it's a couple $100.
Yeah. That's it?
Yeah.
For the whole day?
Hey,
oh, yeah, it's just...
Hey, dude, nice to see you. How are you, man? Yeah, good. Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's just for the day. One day rental.
Cool.
Usually use it for a couple hours.
How's business with the economy the way it is?
It's actually slowed down a lot.
I'll bet it has. Those birthday parties, the kids aren't getting the bouncy things so
much.
Yeah,
we do a lot of corporate events, a lot of universities, schools, colleges, and
Do you own all those things?
No, I don't.
You just work for the company.
Yeah.
All right, here, I'm asking everybody this question. I'm asking people about their religious beliefs. Are you a religious guy?
No, I'm more a spiritual person than I am religion.
Okay. Are you do you fall underneath a specific, like, Buddhist, Baptist, Christian, Hindu?
No, none.
Nothing?
None of the above. Uh-uh.
And how come you chose that path?
To me, the whole not into the church thing, I think it's more superficial. For most, I think, just to show up, just to be seen, and like
hypocrisy.
Some people it works, you know, whatever. I don't.
So, do you believe that there's a God?
No, not really.
No.
I don't believe that.
So, what makes you? What do you mean when you say you're spiritual? What does that mean?
More of a. I think if you have good morals, good values, you're brought up right. You know.
What are good morals?
What goes around comes around. Do unto others.
What about things like, to use a religious term, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie, steal,
right.
Those things. Do you think those are good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's more
Do
of
you keep
a,
those?
As far as...
lying and stealing.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
So you've never lied?
No, I have.
Oh, okay.
I think that that's a... It's a good thing.
It's a
to
good
live
rule.
By. Yeah, a good rule.
But you haven't
rule
kept it.
Right.
What about stealing? Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah.
What about lusting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're a guy. What about being angry at people unjustly, murdering
yeah.
your heart?
Well,
You drive a car?
Yeah.
You ever get mad at somebody on the road?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you've...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as murder, that's a...
Well, I agree with you. Killing somebody would be far worse.
Yeah.
But just, you know, being really torqued at that moron or that idiot or worse.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that...
It's like your human... It's the way humans are.
Yeah.
Thing.
Right. So you like those rules.
Yeah.
But you haven't kept them.
Kind of keeps you in line, though.
That's okay.
What keeps
Why?
People in line.
Why should you keep those rules? What's the point?
It's always good to be nice, right?
Why?
Everybody wants to be happy. I want to be happy.
So you think keeping those rules will make you happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
All right, dude, here. Where are you walking right now?
To my truck.
All right, I got to do a commercial dealing, and I'll walk with you because I don't want to
right on.
Keep you from doing your job. So let me take a little break here, and we'll keep chatting while you're walking.
Okay.
All right? And it's only a couple $100 for the inflatable bouncy deal, huh?
Right.
Has one of those ever just ripped and exploded while people were jumping on them?
Nah, not exploded, but the air comes out real slow.
In the movies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll come back in just a minute. It's Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech.
Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Is an hour of wretched a day just not enough for you? Can you not get enough of good theology and mediocre comedy? Do you want to see the man behind the voice that you hear on the radio? Well, then head on over to wretched.org/TV and watch hundreds of hours of our Wretched TV. Our 30-minute program is jam-packed full of topics. You'll hear topics ranging from theology to evolution to pneumatology to evangelism and so much more. So grab some popcorn, find a comfy spot on the couch, and turn on some Wretched TV. And a quick thank you to our gospel partners. Without you, there is no Wretched, so we are eternally grateful. If you want to help support Wretched so we can stay on the air, visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. But don't forget to visit wretched.org/TV for your daily dose of Wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Wretched.org/TV.
Yep, I get it. The thought of not having traditional health insurance, it just feels kind of scary. I would like to encourage you to discover what Mrs. Friel and I have learned about MediShare. It is affordable, biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christians strong. This is no fly-by-night organization, a ministry that has existed for 27 years, and they have covered together over $4 billion in medical expenses. Please be encouraged to at least check out MediShare.com/wretched. The average family will save approximately $500 per month. And you can sleep at night knowing that MediShare is sound, affordable, biblical health sharing. MediShare.com/wretched.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Wretched Radio. I'm standing here with Jason, who brought the inflatable. The kids are doing some kind of event here, trying to get some attention, right?
Right.
And they can jump around and hit each other with big inflatable
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you ever do that yourself?
Every once in a while.
Because you can't help it.
You got to test it out.
All right. Hey, Jason, I was asking you before about your spirituality.
Right.
You like rules. You like some principles.
Right.
Right? But haven't really kept them. Don't believe in God. Right?
Right.
What do you think the point of life is?
I don't know.
Where do you think it came from?
Yeah, evolution or...
what do you think is going to happen to you when you die? Is there any eternity?
Yeah, you just die.
That's it?
you kind of hope there's something...
Bleak.
I know. You kind of hope there's something there.
If there's a God, how do you think you'll do when you meet him? What do you think he'll say to Jason?
I don't know.
Well done, not so good, very poor.
Well, you did your best.
You tried hard.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what you did, as long as you tried hard.
Right.
Do you think, Jason, if he opened up the books on your life and looked into your heart and saw what's going on inside of your head,
right,
and the stuff that you do and the stuff that you don't do, how do you think you'd fare in a courtroom setting like that? If the rules were things like lying and stealing and lusting and anger.
Yeah, I think... I think it'd be... he'd probably know I'm a good person. Did my best. A lot of... Like anybody, you know, you have your ups and downs and challenges thrown at you.
What about the lying and the lusting and the... The stealing, or the coveting, or the not honoring your parents. And let's say that there's a God, and you really haven't spent any time thanking him or praising him for giving you life,
right?
Food, clothing, everything that you've enjoyed. If he's a strict judge, and the books are open in your life, so every deed done in darkness, every secret sin was brought into the light.
Right.
Do you think that you'd be innocent or guilty?
Probably guilty.
Guilty.
Yeah.
What do you think a just judge like that should do with you? Would he take you to heaven? Or do you think he'd send you to hell?
I don't know. It depends on the severity of everything.
Yeah. Or it might be depending on the one against whom the crime has been committed.
Right.
Okay, for instance, if I lie to one of my kids... I'm not getting in any trouble. But if I lie to my wife, I'm in trouble.
Right.
If I lie to my boss, I could get fired.
Yeah.
If I lie to the government, they could throw me in jail.
Right.
Now, I basically committed the same crime, lying.
Yeah.
But I had a different response and a different punishment. How come the punishment became worse for the same crime?
Yeah.
It's the one against whom I've committed the crime.
Right.
Somebody more powerful with more authority.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we've committed crimes against God, who created the world and us, and he's infinite and big and holy, then the punishment would be really huge, wouldn't it?
Right. Do you think anybody's like that, though?
Is like what?
That doesn't lie or steal or anything?
You see how old are you?
35.
35. Okay. Dude, I've lied, stolen, cheated, lusted way more than you have. I would deserve it, too. I agree with you completely.
But, so that's what makes me think that, you know, if there was
it's
a God,
bleak.
Then why
we're
wouldn't...
in big trouble.
Yeah.
I agree. We are in big trouble. Unless he's good and kind and merciful, too. Okay. But that would be problematic, because if God is kind, he can't just go, well, I'll just let him go, boys will be boys, because that wouldn't be just. So all of a sudden, we got kind of a tension going on here. We're scared that we're going to be judged and go to hell.
Right.
But that seems to be the right thing for God to do. We like to think that he's good and kind. So if God is kind and loving, and he's just, and he must punish lawbreakers.
Right.
What could happen to break that tension so that guys like you and me could be forgiven?
I don't know.
How's about this?
An email.
An email?
Yeah. Something.
How's about if somebody paid your debt for you? Somebody said... You know, okay, Jason has a debt with God, but I'll pay it for Jason because I love him. Mm-hmm. Then you could be free. And that way justice would be satisfied and God could show mercy to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Are you familiar with the Christian gospel? Do you know what that is? What the good news is of Christianity and what Jesus did for guys like you and me?
Nah.
The good news is that God sent somebody to pay your debt.
Right.
Jesus. who lived and kept all the laws that you and I have broken. You and I have lied and lusted and stolen.
Right.
He never did. And then he was beaten by men, put on a cross, where he gasped for air,
right,
and died, taking the punishment of God that you deserve on your behalf. So a great exchange can take place. All of your badness, all of your filth, all of your dirtiness,
right,
is put on him. And in exchange, you can get all of his goodness credited to your account. That's the good news of the gospel,
mm-hmm,
that God forgives sinners because of what Jesus did for us.
Right.
So that you, a bad guy, can go to heaven, not for being a good guy, but for being a bad guy who's been forgiven by a very good God.
Right.
And that way, for all of eternity, we can go, that is a good God. That is a very kind God who saved somebody like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. We all do deserve to go to hell, but a way has been made for us to escape it. One way, Jesus.
Right. Okay.
Here's the big question. Is that true or not?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That happened a long time ago.
Yes,
that's
it did.
Before, and the way I see it, I mean, the Bible's got a lot of, you know, got the good morals and values and stuff and stories.
So right.
To me, it's stories. I mean, somebody, you know, could have just wrote it up.
Could have.
But apparently, you know, a lot of people on the same bandwagon, it, you got to have to believe something.
Well, we like to believe, so we're kind of, I think, made to believe something, because I think we know that God exists. It just seems to make sense. You know, you look at the truck you got right here, and you know that it was made someplace,
because
right, it's designed like that.
Yeah.
Here we are. Somebody had to do all of this. Couldn't have just happened.
Right.
And our conscience tells us something's wrong. I haven't been living right. I'm in trouble here.
Yeah.
I need help. And the one book I think that provides a solution that makes sense is, I can't do enough to make up for all the bad I've done.
Right.
But if somebody perfect took my place, then a great exchange could take place. So I think it's the one book that provides the solution. Where did I come from? God made me. What am I doing here? Well, I'm supposed to be living for him. Where am I going when I die? Well, right, depends on whether or not I'm forgiven. So you need to figure out if it's true or not.
Yeah.
Because if it is true,
well, how do you figure that out?
Well, that's a good question. I think a couple of ways. You can read the Bible and see if it's true.
Right.
You don't know me from Adam.
Right.
You know, I could be trying to sell you some stocks or something for all you know.
Yeah.
But you should read the Bible and see if it's true. And I would say listen to your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think it's pretty obvious there's a God. Here's something you can think about, okay? Here, let's draw like a pretend circle right here.
Okay.
And here's all the religions except Christianity.
Okay.
All right. You got Buddhism and Hinduism and Mormonism and all the different world systems. And they all say right, one thing. Do a lot of good. And maybe if you've done enough good, when you die, maybe you'll either be reincarnated to a better place,
yeah,
or you'll move on to a better place.
Right.
Okay. Jesus is over here in Christianity, and he stands all alone in this, and he says, here's the problem. You can't do enough good. In fact, all you've done really is a lot of bad stuff.
Right.
And you need to be forgiven, and I'll forgive you because I'm good, and that way you can go to heaven based on what he's done and not on what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, all of these systems over here say work like crazy, and maybe,
yeah,
maybe this one says, no, I love you, and I'll forgive you because I'm good. But you've got to repent and put your trust in me. And in other words, agree that it's true.
Right.
Say you're sorry. Admit you've been wrong. Turn from your sins and put your trust in him and in him alone. And he says, then I'll make you my child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll forgive all of your sins, past, present, and future. And you'll go to heaven based on what I've done so that I can get all the credit for being really good and really kind.
Right.
And so I think, kind of putting it in those positions, so ask yourself the question, do you think at this point, after 35 years, you think you got a shot at making your way to a better afterlife?
Yeah, I think it's never too late to do the right thing.
So you can make up for all the lusting and all the lying.
Anybody could.
How are you going to do that?
Could.
How?
Just either know that you're only human and it happens. And
if it works like this, let's say that you broke a bunch of laws on Earth.
Right.
And you had a $74 million fine.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you're going to go into your wallet, you're going to ask your friends, and you come up with $812.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
You're just way short.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what the Bible says. We've fallen short of his standard, and we deserve everything we're going to get from him.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I would say, just listen to your conscience. And if your conscience troubles you that, you know what, I have not been living right. I have been doing wrong, and I know it,
mm-hmm,
and I'm a guilty guy. Then I would encourage you to take a look at the different systems.
Right.
Don't trust me.
Yeah.
you want to try to start working your way there, however that works, I'm not sure, to make up for 35 years of wrongdoing. Yeah. Or you could throw yourself at his mercy and admit you're wrong, humble yourself,
yeah,
and he will save you as a free gift of his goodness.
So
I can't club you over the head.
Yeah.
I'm just here to tell you what I think is true.
Right.
And you need to figure it out for yourself.
Right.
Do you have a Bible?
Yeah.
Let me encourage you to grab it. If you're trying to figure stuff out and open it up, you can remember this, the Gospel of John.
Okay.
Okay? You'll find it.
Yeah.
And just start reading it. Okay? Because that book was written so that you could know that Jesus is God and that he came here to die for a guy like you. All right, man. I'll be praying for you.
All right.
See you, dude. Will you please do the same? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.